Good morning.
It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this morning. We thank you so much for your presence and your desire to come out and be with us as we study from the Word of God. I encourage you, if you would, to go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. We'll be looking there in the 16th chapter here in just a few moments. In Acts chapter 16, we read really a day that starts off a pretty good day for the Apostle Paul and for Silas as they traveled across the sea there from Troas and have entered into Europe for the first time. And they've come over into the region of Macedonia. This is the first time that we have record in the Scriptures of the gospel being preached in this particular region. And they come in, and of course, as they do in every other location, they go to a place where they can find where the Jews had gathered together to spend time in worship to God. And apparently, the city of Philippi did not have a synagogue, and so as they were looking around, they found out near the river some women that had gathered together to pray. This is what the Jews would oftentimes do. If there were not enough men for a synagogue, they would go out to the river so they would have the water that was necessary for ceremonial cleansing and such, and they would worship there. And so Paul and Silas go out and they preach the gospel. And of course we all know exactly how that went. There was a lady there, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira by the name of Lydia, and she obeyed the gospel. And so it seemed that with her house and with her obedience that this was going to be a fruitful work. And so Paul and Silas continue on in their zeal in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as time progresses, we find that there was a young girl there, a slave girl, that had a spirit of divination. We don't even know exactly how this worked, whether it was just a demon that gave her particular powers, superpowers that caused people to believe that she would be able to foretell the future. We can look at the terms that are used there, and the term that is used to describe her is the Greek term Python, which referred to Apollos and such. And so it was someone who was being used by her masters that they could make a lot of money, and they were definitely making a lot of money off of her. But every time that Paul and Silas would go out, she would follow along after them, and she would cry out, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And as a preacher of the gospel, you kind of look at that and go, "Okay, that's not a bad thing." She's just going out and letting everybody, "Hey, the preachers of the truth are coming. The preachers of the Most High God, they're on their way. Listen to what they have to say." And you might think that there in the beginning, but any of you who are parents and parents of a child who has learned to say something and likes saying that something and then begins to say it over and 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 over ad infinitum, you know that no matter how cute it was the first time, and the second time, and the 30th time, around time 100, stop it. Be quiet. That's enough. Yes, you can say that word. I don't ever want to hear that word again. Even though we love our children, we reach that point sometimes. Now imagine Paul and Silas. Every day they're going out to preach the gospel. Every day this girl is falling behind. These men are the servants of the Most High God. Every single time. And you can imagine Paul. You can see just how this would begin to grow on you. Would begin to really wear on you. We read there in verse 18, it says, "She continued doing this for many days." We can see in that the patience of Paul, that he kept waiting. He didn't do this just right away. Even though it's in the next verse, he didn't do this right away. After many days, we read that Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. This was the beginning of one of those days for the Apostle Paul. Paul had had many of those, one of those days. Those days where he was tried by the Jews, where he was beaten by the Jews, where he was stoned by the Jews, where he was chased by the Jews, where there were threats against him constantly in every place. But this was the beginning of one of those days where he just, "I finally have had enough," and he cast out the demon. And those two owners of the slave girl, like any good businessman that you would find in America, when someone takes away your method of making money, what do? You take them to court. And that's exactly what they do. They take Paul and Silas, only they don't go to the authorities and say, "Look, you need to arrest this guy." They seize them
and dragged them before the court there in the marketplace. And they don't exactly give the truth there in a way, do they? Why were they dragging them before the court? Well, because they weren't making any money anymore because they cast out the demon that was in the slave girl. But instead, they drag them before the court. And look at what they have to say there. They say in verse 20, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." Now, this was not exactly the truth either at this point in time. It was not illegal to be a Jew in the Roman Empire at this point in time. Yes, there were times that the Jews were persecuted heavily by the Romans, but it wasn't quite there at this point in time yet. And they weren't turning the city upside down in a bad way. But just like we find with Paul in Ephesus, when someone's financial gain is taken away, they turn against him. From there, things just get worse for Paul. Just imagine if you were Paul and Silas getting up that morning. And Silas turns to Paul and goes, "You reckon she's going to follow us around today?" And Paul turns and says, "You know what? If she does it, I'm done with it. I'm just going to cast that demon out so we can go on and have a fruitful day of work." Can you imagine Paul and Silas getting up and beginning the day that way? And then they get carried before the magistrates. The magistrates have them beaten and thrown in the prison. It just started good, got bad, and steadily got worse. Have you ever had one of those days? Note that when they were beaten with many blows. But have you ever had one of those days? We're just seeing that something bad was going to happen. This isn't Ken, just so you know. And I don't know if you can tell. That's concrete, fresh concrete that he's run into. You ever had one of those days where everything bad that could happen seemed to? That maybe you were sailing along smoothly until pole jumps into the middle of your boat. You ever have one of those days where you just feel like you're just hanging on by a thread? That just the slightest change and you're just going to drop. That's it. That's all that you can handle. You ever have one of those days where it seems like everything is falling apart? You ever have one of those days where it just doesn't seem that you can get any lower than you already are? That's what Paul was going through. Paul was having one of those days where it just seemed like it really cannot get any worse. And it did. Well, it can't get any worse than this. And it did. Have you ever had one of those days? We all have had those days, haven't we? Where it just seemed like everything that is bad that could happen has happened. But I want to look at a few things that we can learn here from Acts chapter 16, from other passages in the Scripture. The first thing I want us to note is that bad days only get worse if you don't know Christ. You know, when you think of your bad day, when you think of your bad week, and I'm sure all of us have had these moments in our life where everything seemed to be going wrong, but note that if you're not serving Christ, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've not given your life to the Lord, then no matter how stressful it is, there's no relief. There's no hope. There's no end in sight to all the horrible things that we're having. But we can know that as Christians, that if we confess our sins, as we read in 1 John 1, there in verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Usually when we're having these bad days, a lot of times, not all the times, but a lot of times it's because we're not serving God the way that we should. And the way to get out of it begins with, well, "Father, forgive me." And for the Christian, we know that there's a way out. No matter what situation we're in, we know that there's a way out, that God will forgive us. But an unrighteous man, one who has not submitted himself to the will of God, he has no real hope of things getting any better. Amos speaks of this. If you look over in the book of Amos there in the Old Testament, Amos was an Old Testament prophet there that was prophesying in the last days of Israel. There, the nation had already divided into Israel and Judah, and God was sending prophet after prophet to the nation of Israel trying to get them to turn back to God. And in Amos chapter 5, Let's begin looking there in verse 19 and look at what Amos has to say there. He talks about the day of the Lord, and when the day of the Lord comes, this is what the people of Israel are going to have. He says, it's going to be as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him. You're running from the lion. Oh, I'm making good ground. I'm going to make it. Oh, there's a bear. Or, he's finally gotten away. He goes home. He leans his hand against the wall to rest, and a snake bites him. You see, for those that are not following God, and of course this is specifically writing, referring to those in the nation of Israel that were turned from God and would not turn back to Him, there's no escape. There's no relief. There's no end in sight. That when you're not following God, even when you're running from one evil, you're just going to fall into a worse evil. Or when you think you finally have found safety, well, then you meet destruction. And isn't that exactly what we find in our lives today? If we're not serving the Lord, he goes on to point out the day of the Lord is going to be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it. When someone is not serving the Lord, no matter what kind of a bad day they're having, there's something worse waiting. If someone's not faithful to God, not serving the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him, no matter what they might be doing on earth, and no matter how bad things might be here, there's something worse that is waiting on them. Bad days cannot get any better, they only get worse for those that do not know Christ. Note these descriptions of hell. The hell which awaits those who, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 1, there in verse 8, who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. In Matthew chapter 8, there in verse 12, we read, the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Go on over, if you would, to the book of Mark, there in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, there in verse 48, we find Jesus speaking there of this destruction that's coming, of the place that's lying in wait for those who will not serve the Lord. And look what he says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You see, for a child of God, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. It may not be something we see physically here on this side of death, but we know that no matter what we endure here, there's a better day coming. But for the one who's not faithful to God, the one who's turned away from God and will not turn back, there's nothing better waiting for them. Bad days only get worse. Look at it, if you would, there in the book of Revelation. There towards the end of the book of Revelation, in Revelation 20, and look there in verse 10, and see there how it is described when the devil and his angels, those have risen up against the city of God, and they surround the city, and we read that fire comes out of heaven and destroys them. And in Revelation 20 and verse 10, we read that the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Bad days only get worse for those that do not know Christ. While it is true that even a child of God can have a bad day, and I don't imagine that there's anyone here that would say, no, I've never had a bad day. I've never had a day where I got up and I was running late for work and the car wouldn't start. Or I've never had a day where I got all the way down to the place where I was going to preach and realized I left my sermon at home and I'd only been preaching twice. So I really needed that sermon. I went all the way back home to get that sermon, and lo and behold, when I ran out of the house with my sermon, the tire was flat. And I was an hour away from where I was supposed to be preaching. No, I've never had one of those days. See, the child of God can have a bad day. But at the end of a bad day, the child of God has something to look forward to. No matter how bad that day might be, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. No matter how bad our day might be, we know that when the Lord returns, we have hope. We know that there is a light, that there is a place of goodness waiting for us.
We can read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know what Jesus has said to us in John chapter 16. Go ahead and turn over there and look in John chapter 16. You see, we know that no matter how bad our day might be, God always gets the last word. And in John chapter 16, look there in verse 33, if you would. And Jesus says, in the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. It may look like the world is victorious. Look back over there in the book of Revelation again, there in chapter 20. And you find that the minions of the devil have surrounded the city of God. It looks like their victory is going to happen. But remember, Jesus says no matter how bad the world gets, know this, I have overcome. For the child of God, no matter how bad a day might be, there is still a silver lining, a light of hope. So, how do you turn around a bad day? You know, it really seems like once a bad day gets started, you know, you get up and you're running late, you need to shave, and the batteries are dead. They're in your electric razor. And you don't have any more straight razors, and you know, I'm going to have to go scruffy today. And you walk into work, and you're a little scruffy, and so your boss doesn't like the way that you're looking there, and so it becomes a little cross with you, and it just seems like steam rolls from there. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Everything that's bad that can happen, happens. How do you turn around a bad day? Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. There in Acts chapter 16, in the latter half of that chapter, we see where Paul and Silas are having a bad day. It began with them casting out the demon and the owners of that slave girl, taking them before the magistrates. The magistrates had them beaten severely and thrown into a dank, dark, horrible Roman prison. They're there in that prison. They've been cast into this prison. They weren't treated nicely. They were cast into this prison. They were in chains. Look there in verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How does a Christian turn around a bad day? Well, there's a nice little equation for you. Prayer plus praise equals deliverance. This is what we find here. No matter how bad a day might be, pray. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Sing praise. And deliverance will come. Now, let me begin this section of the lesson by saying it's not necessarily going to happen that day. Just because you've had a bad day and you've gone home and you've prayed to God and you've sung praises to God, don't expect to get up the next morning and, well, the prison doors are opened and everything's honky-dory and I'm good to go. It's not always the case. But deliverance will come to those who turn to God in prayer and sing praise. Begin with prayer. You know, that's part of our problem. Where do most people go when they've had a bad day? Yeah, some people go to a bar. You know where most of my friends go when they've had a bad day? They go to a computer. They log on to a little place called Facebook. And they let everyone they know exactly how bad of a day they've had. I wish I got a penny for every complaint I had to endure and read on Facebook. I'd be able to preach for free. No charge. Just let me go and read Facebook. I'll make my wage for the year today. Having friends left and right, because Facebook really could be called sometimes complaint book. And, you know, some of you order it, well, that's why I don't like Facebook. Well, you know what? What else do people do? They call up their friends. You're not going to believe the day that I had today. We complain over and over and over. We turn to our friends, we turn to everyone but God when life is coming at us hard. We turn to the preacher. I got to tell you how bad of a day I'm having. Well, there's not a whole lot I can do about it, except this. How about you go pray?
Prayer should be the first place that we turn as Christians. In Psalm 34, there in verse 15, we know that God will listen. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." God's ready to listen. In Proverbs 15, verse 29, the wise man writes, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." He's there to listen. In James chapter 5, there in verse 16, we read that we are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray. But not just pray. But once you've prayed, then listen. You see, there's the other big problem. People want to complain. They don't want you to tell them how to solve their problems. I just want you to listen to me. I don't want you to tell me how to fix it, because if you fix it, I can't complain about it tomorrow. Then I won't be as unhappy as I am today. And I like being unhappy. That's really the attitude that some people seem to have. But turn to God in prayer and listen to Him. Listen to what God has to say. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Do we truly listen to God when He talks to us? In Matthew chapter 11, let's look there in verse 28. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us. He says to us in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, "You bring to me all of your stress. You bring to me all of your worries. All those things that you're complaining to Facebook about. That you're calling mom and dad and sister and brother and complaining about. You bring all those things to Him and you take up my burden. You take up my yoke. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and you'll find rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is ready to carry your burden. Jesus has already made the journey to carry your burden there to the cross. Sometimes our bad days are just simply bad days because we didn't go to the Lord in prayer. Joseph Scrivens was an Irish poet who truly understood the power of prayer. He was one who not only had a bad day, but several bad days. He was engaged to be married. And the night before the wedding was to take place, his fiancée drowned. Sorrowful and saddened, of course, he moves from Ireland to Canada. And he falls in love again. And he gets engaged. And just a little while before their wedding, his fiancée dies of pneumonia. Talk about your bad days. And his mother was sick in Ireland. And he wrote her a little poem called "Pray Without Ceasing." We know it a little bit better as the song that we sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now pay attention to the words of the first line. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Now think about that. Jesus is there to carry all of our sins, all of our griefs, that we can turn to Him. But look at what He says further. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You see, Joseph Scrivens understood the reason we walk around in such a morose attitude. The reason our lives are so dark and so dismal and we're so full of worry is because we won't take the moment to sit down and to give everything to God in prayer. We won't come to Him. We won't turn it over to Him. Joseph understood the need for prayer. Prayer is our open line to God's presence. Our chance to humbly kneel before the throne of God and to surrender our life to Him and to give Him all of our troubles, to give them to someone who can truly do something about it. Complaining to Facebook does nothing. but start everybody else on having a bad day. Calling up your mom, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, and complaining about all the things that are going wrong in your life, they can't do anything to change it. God can. And prayer is your chance to turn to Him. We can carry everything to God in prayer, and like Brother Harold has said so many times, we can let it go. Makes me think of when I was a kid, and it's amazing how you remember the stupid things your siblings do, but not the stupid things that you do. You ever notice that? My brothers and sister will talk about something, oh, I don't remember that. And then I'll talk, I don't remember, they'll say, I don't remember that, but I remember when we lived in Arkansas, I was in second or third grade, somewhere around there, and we went out with a good friend of ours, Sam Allen, and his son Matt, who's holding our fall meeting here. We went out in their ski boat. First time ever to have a chance to go skiing. Jeff, being the brave older brother, decided he would go first. And so they get him out there in the water. And Mr. Sam and my dad both give him the instruction to make sure you keep your skis up and everything. And so they get him all set and get the rope pulled out nice and tight and ready to go. Mr. Sam kicks it in and the boat just rears off. Jeff comes up in about 3 seconds, is doing great. And then smack! Face down, in the water. And we're, let it go! Let go! I'm laughing. Mr. Sam cuts it back. We swirl back around. And Jeff still hasn't let go. My dad was like, why didn't you let it go? You know, God's like that. He's looking at us. He sees us carrying around the weight of all these things that are completely and totally out of control. He sees us carrying around the weight of our sins. And He's just standing up there going, let it go. Come to Me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Let it go. Give it to Me. I'll take care of it. I'll pay the price. Pray. How do you turn around a bad day? It begins with prayer. When a storm comes, pray. And God will sustain you. But don't just stop at prayer. Paul and Silas didn't just pray to God, but we saw them singing praises to God as well. They prayed and trusted God so that there was nothing else left to do. They prayed and then they sang praise to God. Praise. Prayer plus praise equals deliverance. Imagine if you would, Paul and Silas, they've been beaten by Romans, not Jews. Jews stopped at 39. Romans stopped when their arms got tired. And when I say their arms got tired, I mean everybody who was there. Well, I'm tired, I'm done. Paul and Silas had been beaten with many stripes and then cast into this dirty, dank, horrible Roman prison. And what do? God, we give our situation to You. They prayed in such a way that others could hear them, and then they began to sing praise to God. Most Christians, if they ended up in that situation, they'd be singing out to God, God, why'd You let it happen to me? Why am I here? I was just trying to do Your will. I was just trying to do what You asked me to do. Why did You let these things happen to me? That's not what Paul and Silas do. You know, they sing praise to God. Even though it had been a bad day up to this point, even though they were in prison, they were chained in the stocks, God was with them. It takes faith. True faith in God to sing praises to Him. You can pray to God and not believe, can't you? The old saying, what was it, a foxhole has never contained an atheist? Something of that nature, that even atheists will turn to God when their life is at an end. They don't really believe this. If there is a God, you can pray without faith. But to truly sing praises to the Lord requires faith. It takes faith to sing praises to God for what He has done. Well, to those around you, it doesn't look like the world has done anything. But once we've prayed and put our problems to God, what better thing can we do than sing praises? Turn in your psalm books, number 466. We sing this song from time to time, don't we? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press, as the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? And with faith we can sing, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Pray to God when you're having that bad day, when the world is turned against you, turn to God in prayer and then sing songs of praise, knowing that God is there to listen. Remember, not only to remember to pray, but to sing songs of praise to God. As Paul and Silas sang in that prison, we find that the prison doors were open. The prison was shaken. The prison doors were open and they were delivered. And not only were they delivered, but the jailer and all of his household was delivered from the bondage of sin that they were in. All of this bad day led to a chance to preach the gospel to someone else. A chance for someone else to be saved. Praise. Prayer. We can know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Number 54. It's another song in our psalm book. It might be good for us to think about as we go through our life and as we see the difficulties that we face and we face all the trials and afflictions. What are we seeing there? Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise Him, praise Him. Look there in the chorus. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him ever in joyful song. When the world is coming against you, when it seems that hope is lost, turn to God in prayer. Having turned to God in prayer, then turn to God in praise. And know that God will provide deliverance. Now understand that deliverance may not come today. All of your troubles are not going to be magically wiped away. Deliverance may not come until we see the gates of heaven. And God says to us, come on in, my faithful children. But you see, for the child of God, there is always hope. In the darkest days this world can ever know, we can know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. But perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel. We're about to ask the question, are you washed in the blood? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're caught up in your sins and cares of this world, there is no hope. Your bad day is just going to continue on the rest of your life until you find a bad eternity. Where the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched, where the fire torments you, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth throughout all eternity. But you can turn your bad day around by praying to God and obeying His gospel. By turning to God, you can confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, be buried in baptism, and a ray of hope will shine brightly as you enter into the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, you have hope of everlasting life. And no matter how this world might be, there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's deliverance. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time, but you've allowed yourself to get brought down again. Because you've been like the Apostle Peter, focusing on the waves that are crashing around you, not focusing on praying to God and praising Him for the wonderful mercy and grace that He's bestowed upon you. Your focus has been taken off of that which is most important. and your life is dark, then turn back to God right now as we stand and as we sing.